Hey everybody, Jay Cooper, Bill Mitchell, another of the Baseball America Prospect Podcast Deep Dives. Today we are diving deep into the Chicago White Sox system. The White Sox, obviously, at the big league level, it has been a pretty bleak couple of years, let's just be honest. But I would say if you're a White Sox fan, there's some hope now. You look at a couple of years ago, and a couple of years ago, I think you could describe it as the big league club was obviously one of the worst we've seen in a very long time. And then you would say at the minor league level, there were a lot of questions. Well, since then, the big league club, they have added, you know, some they've made improvements. They really did a good job in the Rule 5 draft last year. Shane Smith ended up being quite a find, and Mike Vassell as well. Colson Montgomery comes up to the big leagues and really had, I would say, kind of a season in the big leagues better than the season before he'd had in AAA, which is also a big credit, and better defensively than expected as well. So a lot there to be kind of positive about going forward. And now that what we're going to dive into, though, is Bill, when you look at this farm system as a whole, where kind of do you feel like the farm system is right now? I feel like they had some pitchers who are really still promising but didn't have great years last year. But now you add in that you also had some position players who I feel like, did have kind of that year that you wanted to see, kind of those breakout years.
I like their top 10, and especially when you add at how many players they've graduated to. They have acquired a lot of good prospects through trade, and you've had Kyle Teal, Chase Mydroth, Mike Vassell. There's a couple more that I'm not remembering right now. That Edgar Kiro have graduated, but yet the top 10 is still good. I think it falls off compared to other organizations after that, but there is still some talent there, some interesting talent.
So the first question we ask is how difficult a decision to rank the number one prospect. In this case, it's Noah Schultz, left-hander Noah Schultz. And I would say that this is a case where it was both easy and hard, I would imagine, because obviously Schultz is very promising, but he had a knee injury last year. He didn't have as he did go deeper in games, but he didn't have as dominating a season last year as he had had the year before. But what did you see with Schultz, and how easy was that call?
I really had to give it some thought and talk to people. Maybe my good trait that I have, or also a fault, is I get loyal to the prospects. And if there's an injury that has affected them, I take that into consideration. And he had the recurring patella tendonitis in his right knee. It was his landing knee. You know, it has to affect a pitcher. And his walk rates were up. His fastball and slider velocity was down. And he just never got right. At the end, they shut him down instead of sending him to the fall league. So I kind of gave him a mulligan for that season last year and kept him at number one. With that said, 2026 is going to be a big proving year for him. He's got to show that he's healthy and it's not a chronic problem. As you said, he still needs to get deeper into games. So will Noah Schultz be the top prospect after this year? Time will tell. Although when we get talking about who will be number one next year, I've got some opinions on that. So, again, a key year for Noah Schultz to really show, is he still what we think? Or there are scouts that I've talked to, even going back when he first came up, they say, I think it's a reliever long-term. And one scout put a Zach Britton comp on him, at least the way Zach Britton was when he was with the Orioles. So, yeah, if he doesn't get deeper into starts, is that his role?
The tricky part with him, to me, is when you look at how big he is, 6'10". And you look at how young he is basically of the age where he would still be, he would not look out of place if he was in this year's draft class. And you combine kind of those two combinations, right? If I was the White Sox, which obviously they're smart enough not to have me making decisions for them, but you know, you've got a 22-year-old here who's 6'10". I would, like, looking long term, I very much feel like it would not shock me if the best that we are going to see out of Noah Schultz is still 5 years away. That wouldn't be crazy, because long levered pitchers understandably may need to take. And the White Sox have been careful with them. Like you said, this is a guy who didn't throw more than four innings in a start until this year. But I would just say to White Sox fans watching this, people prospect watching, especially he's going to be pitching in Charlotte. Charlotte is a brutal place to pitch. It is the Pacific Coast League of the International League. It is the Las Vegas or the Coors Field of the IL. Even if it has some rocky moments this year, I would just kind of say, like, hey, the upside here is really immense. I've overused this, but look at Randy Johnson's development path and look at how far ahead this 6'10" lefty is to where Randy Johnson was at this point in his development, where Randy Johnson was walking like eight, he just got drafted out of USC at this point and was walking like 7.5 to 8 per 9 innings at this point. And it wasn't going to be years before he was going to get to fringe average control. How much, like you said, you did a lot of reporting on this. The knee, like he wasn't fully healthy. How much did that kind of play into what we saw also? It's like always hard to tell, but do you feel like we really kind of got kind of best Noah Schultz much at all last year?
No, I don't think so. And you took the words out of my mouth bringing up Randy Johnson. I was going to bring up that comparison. Not that I'm saying he's going to have a Randy Johnson career, but tall, left-hander, the same arm slot. I think you're right. The best may be further down the road for him. But it's like, and we, when you and I did the Royals podcast, I brought up Steven Zobach, who did not have a good year. And again, it was a problem with his landing knee. And that's got to affect a pitcher when they, when it throws off their whole delivery. And the fact that that lingered all season was recurring. We did not see the best of Noah Schultz this year. Will we in 2026? That's what we're all waiting to see.
And again, but even if we don't see the best of Noah Schultz as a 22 turning 23 year old in 2026, lefties who throw like this, like at his best, he has some of the best stuff we see in the minors. And at his best, like you said, neither of us is comparing him to Randy Johnson, but you do hear people bring up Randy Johnson because there just aren't many pitchers who've ever pitched who look like this, right? Like he is the closest analog you can come up with, because if you search your databanks for 6'10" lefties with that arm slot, there just aren't many of them, And I say 6'10", I'll be interested to see every time I feel like that Noah Schultz get measured, we end up like that height kind of goes up. So we'll see, I guess so. He may not have to be accurately measured though. He's not stepping in a batter's box, so they don't need to have his accurate measurements for the ABS challenge system. He's not, that's not something they need to worry about.
I did ask that question because I heard he had grown an inch and I was trying to get an exact height. Is he 6'11" now? And it was around the same time I had gone to a Phoenix Suns game when they're playing the Spurs, and I'd heard that Victor Wembanyama had grown. Now, from where I was sitting, I had all I could tell was he was taller.
You could tell he was really tall.
Yes. So, I think he's more than 7'3" now, but when spring training, minor league spring training games get going, or Noah may be throwing in some big league games, I want to try to get to see him and just see how he looks this year.
So looking at the system as a whole, like you said, the top 10's really good. After that drops off, I would say the system's probably a little bit weaker than it was a year ago, just from graduations. Cause we've seen, you just hit it. We can rattle them off. In addition to, we didn't have Shane Smith ranked as high as he ended up being value wise last year, cause he was a Rule 5 pick. But I would say we did see graduating Cuero, Kyle Teal, Colson Montgomery. That to me, that leaves a mark, right? So is the system to you overall better, weaker? Like, how do you kind of perceive the difference?
I think just because they did graduate so many, it is, I believe, a little weaker. But let's see what they got out of the draft. I liked the high school picks that they made. They took Billy Carlson, number one, Jaden Foskey, number two. Carlson definitely needs to some swing changes and working that, but he has hard hit rate is good. He's got power. He just needs to smooth out that swing. As far as a really defender, he's a major league defender now, even coming out of high school. You know, he's a 70 defender with a 70 arm. You know, he could play major league defense right now. Foskey is one to watch. I know he had a football injury that affected him. But I was one of the few times I saw him in late in the Bridge League. I had a scout from another team kind of sidle up to me and quietly say, after watching Foskey, he said, we didn't have him high enough on our draft board. So there's something there. And I think it's going to take some time. Landon Hodge is even further away, and as a high school catcher, he's got to develop. What I'm not sure about yet is their college draft picks. We didn't get to see any of their pitchers. They didn't throw any of their pitchers after the draft. So I'd like to see more of what they got from college players before we really decide how good is the system now.
The other thing that jumps out is there are some arms here, I feel like, that kind of like we've already seen Tanner McDougal in the very early going here in spring training, touching close to 101, 100.7, I think, and sitting very, you know, kind of high 90s. Christian Opor has been kind of intriguing at times. Like there are, in addition to that kind of the top level names that we talk about, there are some other guys here who kind of are intriguing to see kind of where they're going to fit, how they're going to fit in. But I do want to also kind of touch on, because we got a couple of the other of these guys who are probably like Hagen Smith could be still not graduated at this time next year, but man, I would hope for his sake, right? Like you talk about a first round college arm like that. You got a lot of good feedback, like AFL, like he made some delivery changes and all. So I did want to spend a little bit of time on Hagen. And what did you see? What is the reporting that you got as far as kind of how he kind of improved late last year?
Well, he was throwing better strikes in fall league. There's still the question on what is his third pitch going to be, how useful it would be. And I got, I got a wide range of opinions on him. Mostly positive evaluators that like him, love him. They use that word. I love the guy. But then there's some that, you know, I'm not sure that how deep is he going to be able to go into games, and is he a relief pitcher? And I went to one of my most trusted scouts. And of course we don't mention names, but I said, you know, tell me about Hagen Smith. He said, I love him. I said, is he going to be developing into a starter? Is he will be able to pitch deep? He said, well, if he doesn't and he goes to the bullpen, he's Billy Wagner. Now, Billy Wagner is now in the Hall of Fame or about to be in the Hall of Fame. So that's and maybe that was a little rich, but you get the idea. And you said he may not graduate this year. I have no inside information on this. I don't, you know, I haven't heard anything recent on their plans. But, you know, look what they did with Garrett Crochet, and look what they did last year with Grant Taylor. They get him to the big leagues as a reliever first and then push him into a starter role. And I know that's their plan for Grant Taylor eventually. But it would not surprise me to see Hagen Smith pitching out of the White Sox bullpen, maybe not too far into the season.
I could very much see that as well. Like, again, we expect that he will graduate. The next question we always like to ask is, who could be next year's number one? And I'm putting this one on a tee because you mentioned Noah Schultz, who, by the way, will be in AAA, could graduate. But even if he doesn't graduate, there's a guy coming up behind him who could make a case for number one, I would imagine.
You're talking about Caleb Bonnemer?
I'm talking about two guys, because Caleb Bonnemer,
Braden Montgomery.
We know that the White Sox have the number one pick in the draft.
Well, yes. I was going to say.
There's a shortstop who might be number one from that reason as well.
Right now, unless something goes terribly wrong, I'll put 95% certainty that Rock Chalowski will be their number one prospect at this point next year. Even if they decide to save money and drop a few spots, you're still going to get a really good player, but you don't pass on a guy like Rochlowski. So that, you know, they've been blessed with this number one pick. They need to, you know, if everything is, if it goes through with this college season, as we expect, they need to go for Chalowski and pay slot and get him in the organization. So there's your number one pick for next year, guaranteed.
Yeah, so I would say that, again, Rochlowski, there's a reason if I'm a White Sox fan, I would be watching UCLA highlights. If you aren't paying any attention, Rochlowski in his first seven games has six homers. He is, and by the way, that is not against low-level competition. They just swept TCU, which is a ranked team last weekend. So he has been great to start the year. He has been everything that we expected to see, if not a little bit more so far. Nothing to dissuade that he is the clear consensus number one right now. But I also want to bring up, like, Caleb Bonnemer had a really impressive 2025 season, and I think is absolutely kind of one of the names to watch, one of the prospects across baseball to watch for 2026. What did you get? What did you get on Bonnemer when doing the process putting together?
That was pretty consistent. He is going to hit. I think there's mixed opinions on his defense. I've heard good things. I've heard he's definitely more of a third baseman and a shortstop. But I also got opinions that I'd move him to the outfield, put him in left field. And if you have Chalowski and Billy Carlson, you're going to need to find a spot for Bonnemer, maybe second base too. But regardless, he's certainly with a deserving number two prospect in that organization at this point.
The way I would put it, this is actually a very good problem. This is the kind of problem that the White Sox have not had, which is Colson Montgomery is at the big leagues and very good. Now, I'm a little worried. Like, again, there's a little bit more risk there for a guy who had a really good debut. The hit tool, There's real power. The hit tool is still a question, but defensively he looked better than expected, I would say. And so you've got him. Then you've, as you said, you've got first rounder last year, Billy Carlson. You've got Caleb Bonnemer, and we expect that you very well could add Rochlowski to that. And I'm sure that someone out there could be going, but that's a problem. These are all shortstops. And that's actually not a problem at all, because Shortstops are your Swiss Army knives that can fill whatever role you need to, much more than if we were talking about first baseman here, we'd be in real trouble.
And don't forget, they also have Chase Mydroth that they got from Boston that became their first played shortstop until Montgomery came up and then moved to second base. Now, his numbers don't blow you away, but he can become an on-base machine. Everything I've heard that we haven't seen the best of Chase Mydroth yet. So it could be a crowded infield in a few years.
So that kind of leads into the next question, which is, what is the organization good at developing? And I want to hear what you say, but I'll throw out there to start with that I actually, one of the things that I do like of what the White Sox have done in recent years, and there was digging up from a very, very deep hole, but something that has been impressive to me is being willing to kind of examine all different ways to get better. Obviously, I brought up the Rule 5 draft. Like, getting actual value and real talent out of the Rule 5 draft is hard to do. They did a good job of that. Shane Smith, Mike Vassell. They've made trades, and some of those trades, it's like, okay, they kind of said, let's acquire talent and we'll figure it out. They acquired Edgar Cuero and Kyle Teal, and they're still figuring out, and by the way, you can throw Corey Lee, I guess, in that some way as well. And they're like, okay, we'll figure out how our catcher situation is going to play out, but we're at a point where talent is most important. You talked about Chase Mydroth. You know, there's other guys where it's like they've been kind of doing, I feel like, a solid job of raising the floor. The White Sox had so many non-major league players playing major league games a couple of years ago. They haven't raised their ceiling that much yet, but they have raised the floor, I feel like, where there are much more plausible big league players, big league caliber players filling these spots now than it was a couple of years ago. But what do you see as far as what is this organization good at developing?
Well, the improvements of Tanner McDougall and Christian Upor, who you mentioned a little while ago, to me, that leans it towards developing pitching very, very well. Although then you have to look at how they developed Caleb Bonnemer. I think it's pretty even as far as, you know, developing hitters or pitchers. But again, you know, McDougall, we had off the list. He couldn't throw strikes. Yes, he threw hard, but he was off the prospect list probably a year and a half ago. Now he's, I think, I'm number six on the list. And look, again, something happened there, and we're no longer looking at him and saying, oh, he's going to have to move to the bullpen. Mm-hmm. Christian Upor, there's still development ahead with him, but he's a left-hander, throws hard. Just, you know, again, like McDougall, he needs to throw more strikes. But he's still very young, too. Another one name I'll put in there is, I'm curious to see how he does now, is Matias Lacombe, who they signed out of junior college, Cochise College in Arizona, where it seems to attract French players from France. And Matias was hurt for a couple years, his first few years. He finally got into official games last year in rookie ball and then went to low A, very good numbers. His velocity was up. But there's still development ahead, as you can imagine, for somebody who spent his formative years in France where they don't play a lot of baseball. So those are some interesting projects for them. They also last year had a lot of injuries, a lot of Tommy Johns that still are on their top 30. Bush, Mason Adams, Drew Thorpe. I was trying to think of the names.
Yeah, don't forget about Drew Thorpe, who was a key acquisition for them a couple of years ago. But unfortunately for the White Sox, we haven't really seen him as a White Sox really much.
Yeah, and I actually was at the game when he walked off the mound with the trainers on the backfield of the Dodgers side of Camelback Ranch. And I thought, ooh, that doesn't look good. And next thing you know, he's out. Prelander Baroa was another one that went out early in spring training last year with an injury with Tommy John. So
it's funny we say this, you run through a number of these names and I'm like, former Yankee, former Giant, there's a lot of, like, again, this is an organization that has been in the talent. You know, we haven't mentioned Brady Montgomery much, but this is an organization that has been, when we say, in a talent acquisition mode in all kind of different ways, you know, like whether it's by draft, whether it's by trade, whether it's by the Rule 5, there's a lot of different ways. And if you're liking hearing about some of these, you know, less names that are a little bit further down the rankings, we're done on the video side, but on the podcast side, podcast feed, we're going to keep going right after this quick break. So, Bill, looking outside the top 10, like you said, this is a system that the top 10 is much stronger than the back of it, but that doesn't mean that there aren't names to know here. Who are some of the other names that kind of stand out to you outside of the top 10?
One pitcher who I don't know a whole lot about, I think Jeff Pont is the expert on the staff on, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing his first name, Jedickson Paez. He was a Rule 5 pick from Boston. I've heard some really good things about him. Maybe you know more about him than I do, JJ, but I'm looking forward to trying to see him during spring training. Another pitcher.
He's going to be interesting again. Rule 5, so we'll see if he can stick. But again, this is an organization that has a little bit more leeway to let a guy develop than say multiple other teams.
One that a lot of people have forgotten about is Blake Larson, who was a second round pick a couple of years ago out of IMG Academy. He's a Midwestern kid, which they like to get players that played on their area codes team. But I saw his last game in instructional league in his draft year, and I was just blown away. He fits that mold of a low slot lefty, but he came back for a strength camp then last January and suddenly needed Tommy John surgery. So he should be back sometime this year. Going deep into their system, last year they drafted a high school player named Matthew Boughton. From Texas, very athletic kid. Will the hit tool develop? We don't know, but I've heard some good positive things about him as far as, his athleticism. He mostly played second base in instructional league last year or bridge league, But I know as an amateur in showcases and tournaments, I saw him at shortstop, but I've heard that he can also play outfield. So he's one to keep an eye on. Again, the hit tool will need to develop.
I got to throw out one other one, which is don't forget, and also don't expect him to, like, George Walkow is a guy who it could never come together. Let's just be start with that, which is we are talking about this really massive but athletic power hitter who could just strike out too much to ever put it all together. It very well happen. But
yes, I get a lot of mixed opinions on him and what he can result in. I've heard like a poor man's Joey Gallo with like three or four good years in the major leagues hitting 20, 30 home runs. But, you know, we'll see. You know, he's got the work ethic. He's got the attitude. It just, you know, and maybe this is the year he puts it together. So I'm glad you brought him up.
Now, again, he may never, but at the same time, also, I would say a guy that big, it's something where you just have to be patient. And if it does, it'll be like, it looks terrible. It looks terrible. Oh, something clicked. I always overuse the example, but Aaron Judge never slugged 500 in the minors. And now you can't even imagine him, you know, slugging under 600 in the majors. It's when you're that big, sometimes it takes a little bit longer. Aaron Judge reached the big leagues, graduated mm-hmm. from rookie status as a 25-year-old. George Walkow still has many years before he's 25. I feel like we're kind of bookending this. On the front end, we talk about be patient with Noah Schultz. He's 6'10". And near the back end of this, we're talking about George Walkow and saying also be patient with him because he's really big and he's a, you know, he's a position player. Looking also here, you know, they do have a number of kind of like either one-time prominent guys or acquisitions at the back of the list. I feel like with Jacob Gonzalez, who's still on this list, but like that's a first round pick, but I feel like you're talking about utility infielder is your hope at this point.
At the best. Gerald yeah. Perez, and not playing else? Shortstop. You've got the little guy, Mogollon, Javier Mogollon. Mm-hmm. He had an injury last year. He went from in rookie ball, he was striking out 40% of the time, which you can't do in rookie ball. And I think I took him off the list. He went to high or low A last year and cut that almost in half. Probably a utility guy long term, but you know, he plays hard. He's 5'7", runs well. I really want to see what he does this year, if he's healthy and can get in a full season playing shortstop, playing second base. You could even put him in the outfield too.
But, well, those are some names to know. And we thank you for joining us on the Baseball America White Sox Prospect Podcast Deep Dive. Bill Mitchell, it's been great to see you. I hate that I am going to Florida this year. Not going to get to do I enjoy a few things more than in spring training in Arizona, going and eating tacos with Bill. And we do eat tacos at a wide array of places. And Bill has never steered me wrong on that. I don't think I've ever had a bad taco with Bill in Phoenix. I'm sure they exist somewhere, but you just keep me from this morning.
Yeah. But and I even had some new places for you this year, so you'll have to make sure to get back next year.
I will make it back next year, but I haven't been to Florida in a while, so I got to do the Florida swing this year. But we hope you enjoyed this. Please like and subscribe, and please leave a review if you could. You know, it does help other people find the podcast. For Bill, I'm JJ. So long, everybody.